I made a list of our full acceptance of I. It's pretty clear that we may not have contemplated this far, and that by not taking advantage of what we must do, we have completely overlooked the necessities of the I consciousness. And when I read it to you, you'll see how far away we all are. But the problem is that the violations of being I are immediate and lasting. And so it's very important for us to ferret out where we are failing to meet the will of the Father, and then to repair that failure, and then the violations on the other side will minimize. It's a very imposing list, though. So I beg your indulgence, but I've got to speak about it with you. The first is, in order to fulfill the will of God, we have to be 100% spirit and no flesh. Don't ask me how you're going to do it. I just want you to know what's required. 100% spirit and no flesh. I know this was the case with every disciple that made a transition with Jesus, and with others who have made it since then. This was the case with Joel Goldsmith. And it will be the case for some of us who persevere. But there are also many other provisions here. And it's kind of tough to look at it, but we've got to. Now, when you accept a lifespan, that's a falsity, so you've got to accept life eternal, not a lifespan. And it's something you'll overlook because it's normal to accept the lifespan. When someone says, well, you've got this time allotted to you and you're going to go, you can't accept that, because all that will go will be the visible self. And you've got to know that the Christ of me lives through forever. And even though I may disappear as a physical body, the Christ of me is still alive and will come back in another physical body. So don't think of a lifespan. Think of the infinite lifespan of the Christ, and put your consciousness on that level, because that's who you are. I'm trying to build up your knowledge of who you are, not whom it seems that you are. Your immortality is very essential. Immortality is a word that means not dying. I had a school that was called Immortality House once, many years ago, and that was what we based it on, not dying. Joel's first chapter in The Infinite Way, the book, is immortality. This is the story of our reality. The immortal, who doesn't live in a lifespan but lives in an eternal life, who is spirit and not flesh. These are the three basic ingredients of your reality. The fourth is that you are living now, but not aware of it, in an invisible body. If we sliced your body this way, that wouldn't kill you. You cannot make contact materially with that invisible body. If a hurricane blows you off the earth, your invisible body can't be blown off the earth. Nothing can make contact with the invisible body of spirit. But you don't know you are an invisible body of spirit. And you must dwell on it. You must live with it in your consciousness until you find an answering voice within which tells you. I was meditating one day, particular case I was on was gone, but I stayed in it, and suddenly it became something that established in me that there was a connection between me and the infinite. I don't know how it came about, but I realized that there was an infinity coming out of me and into me, and that anyone connected with that would be part of that infinity. And I think it made quite an impression, so that I stopped thinking of myself as just being a person, or even a finite spirit. There is no such thing as a finite spirit. It became quite a teaching from an invisible source that I was not a visible, finite being. This infinite reality of me was invisible. And true or not, that's what I felt. And it's been tested in some ways. And I feel it's becoming more rapidly part of my consciousness. So that you do reach the place where you feel the infinity of you. And so that if a case comes to you, let's say, and you meditate on this particular case, you're not sending out anything through the air. The infinity of your being, all of it is responding. You're just receiving here. But the infinity of your being is universal. And the person who is connected to it receives something from an infinite being. You may not be conscious of it always, but things like that do come into your consciousness, and you're lifted out of this finite sphere. Then you realize that the power of the infinite is will do most of the things that you want to do. And you're given 100 arms, 100 ways of approaching things. And that comes out of the practice of I am an infinite being, I am spirit, I am an invisible being. All of these things which are truth of you all become one. And you become aware somehow that you are that one. I have no human father. Now it's very important to acknowledge the will of God, and you're not disrespectful to your human father, but you see, you can have two. You can have a human father, because then you cannot have the spiritual father. And the spiritual father never begets a human son. So you ultimately have to reach the place where you can feel the rightness of having no human father. It's not a sign of disrespect, because your human father has to reach that too. He has no human father. Now at first it's a difficult thing to accept, but later on you find your responsibility is to live in the will of the Father more than any other will, and it's your personal will that's holding you back. You've got to see that I have no human father. That doesn't lessen my responsibilities to the man who is apparently my human father, or it doesn't lessen my love. It just places, I can't be heir to the divine Father's kingdom and be heir to a human father, you see? You've got to make your choice. And it's important that you reach this conclusion, because when you have no human father, you're beginning to feel the essential dimensions that are not part of this earth. You're beginning to feel new possibilities. And eventually, you will accept it. No matter how you love your father. And you will see that when you were born here in this world, that was the beginning of another illusion. That's where the illusion started for you, with that birth. It's hard to imagine, but when you were born into a physical bundle, you had departed from the spiritual universe. Not actually, but apparently. Just as your parents had made the same mistake in their lives, you're beginning to reproduce the same mistake. Whoever is born and does not make a transition before death goes through what appears to be death. You may remember Melchizedek. In the earliest days, he who had come from Salem was neither born nor dying. We couldn't understand that at the time. That was the clue to us that we were the same. When you are not born, you have removed the possibility of dying. Because when you are not flesh, and you know you're not, there is no death possible. When you are not flesh, all that was before the birth becomes within the realm of your reality. You didn't begin at birth. You began before the world. And actually, you can't find a beginning. Spirit has no beginning. You've got to allow yourself to go back that far. We're not dealing anymore with a finite material being. we're dealing with a limitless spiritual being. These are all the subtle truths of the spirit that we let pass by because we can't see the importance of them. Only accept God life. That means that the life of God is all I accept. I don't have this human life. Well, how can you feel right about telling God he's a liar? You are the life of God. If you're not the life of God, you're signing away your life. We are all heir to the kingdom. We all have the same heritage. The same kingdom to live in. The same life to live. And if we have not claimed that divine life, then we haven't started to live yet. Because divine life is the only life we can claim. There is no other life. You're quite a being. But there has to be a you that's aware of being that being. Every man is Christ, the Spirit of God in man. That ability to let the Christ express in you begins to open all the possibilities of everything we are saying. When Christ first expresses in you, that's when you know that I am not alone. I am not one little individual in this great big world. I am the Father are inseparable forever. Once you say that any of this is true for you, it all becomes true. Once you are willing to open up to accept even a portion, all the rest has to be true. I must be born again. I have been born of the matter in the first birth. Now, I must be reborn spiritually. These identifications are all the will of God. God says, I must be reborn. And I have nothing better to do on this earth than to please the Father, than to accept his guidance, because that's what it is. The Father is leading me to Himself. Every point is to enable you to see the full picture of your divine heritage and how you fit into the plan and how the Father you are leaving, who is not your Father, is also part of this plan. Everything I've said about you is true of your Father. Everything I've said about you is true of your Son. You can't tell them it all because that's not what they're studying. One here and one there will fall into the same study eventually. And if you did, it'd be awful if you hadn't. But I can tell you, the families that have done it for four generations, from great-grandmother down to the child, and they wouldn't trade a minute of it. The Son of God is the invisible light within everyone on earth. That demands my recognition. A poor beggar down on the corner selling pencils. The Son of God within him is the same as the Son of God within the Pope. Son of God, are the identity of every Son of God. Every Son of God is the identity of you. You don't begin to know the infinity of your being . Not ready perhaps to assume the last two. Well, one is, I live in the kingdom. I only think I live in the world. When Jesus had overcome the world, he had overcome the belief that there was a world. There's no world to overcome. He had overcome the belief that there was a world. That's the second. The first is the kingdom, the reality, what is called heaven. It has no opposite. It has no second. The world is the imitation. I have overcome the imitation. That's why he could say to Pilate, "You can't hurt me at all. I have overcome the world. I'm not living in the world. That's fictitious, non-existent. But he wouldn't have said that if he was a human being. I have overcome the world. I don't live in it. You can't reach down and choke me. I don't live in the world." He You can't touch me. You can't find me to touch me. You can only see my image. I know all of this is difficult to understand, but truth should be something we always study. One unseparated, invisible Christ is the one self of all. There may be 50 sitting here in bodily form. The one invisible Christ is all we are. It is unseparated. From one to the other, the one Christ is. And that stretches across the universe, beyond sight. Now when you say I, this I am, and when you view the world that is material from the I that I am, everything that is untrue means nothing to you. All of the conditions of the world cannot come nigh thy dwelling. I know we seem to be far away from that yet. They're the Father's terms. There they are. Now when you violate them, things happen. You don't know you're violating them most of the time. Here are some of the violations. I am flesh. That doesn't seem to be a serious violation. Everyone believes they're flesh. The minute you accept flesh, you're accepting every possible condition of flesh. Everybody who has a disease has accepted flesh. You say, well, if they hadn't accepted flesh, would that have changed it? That depends on what you mean by accept. If you accept spirit and live spirit, you haven't accepted flesh. If you accept spirit, you will say to Pilate, I have overcome the world. As you begin to lose the belief in flesh and come into the understanding of spiritual flesh, not flesh that is spirit, but spirit, which has attained the degree of non-material spirit, which is you, but something that is special, some substance that can walk through a wall, as Jesus did. Spiritual flesh does walk through a wall. Spiritual flesh walks on water. It doesn't recognize the existence of any material substance. So we begin to appear in another universe than the visible one. All violations of spirit bring about their own penalty. If you accept the lifespan, you just shut out eternal life. Eternal life depends upon the acceptance of the conditions that apply to perfect spirit. Now it may seem far away, unavailable, but I'm willing to make a prediction that many of us will attain a degree of spiritual awareness which establishes us as residents of the kingdom of God. At least that's the assumption I have accepted for all who walk in the infinite way, who practice the principles we were given steadfastly. However they might suffer momentarily, in overcoming, each principle is strengthened up. I live in a visible body. Now you can appear in it, but to live in it is another thing. To live in it is not to live in a spiritual body, isn't it? So if you live in a visible body, you are violating spirit. That doesn't mean that you've got to go home and berate yourself. It means that you've got work to do. To appear in a visible body, but to live in your invisible body, isn't that what Jesus did? He appeared in the visible world. That's not where he lived. He lived in his body of spirit. By living in his body of spirit, he proved that I have overcome the world. Think about these things. Now, when you say, "I am not divine life," you're violating spirit. You're violating a divine commandment. Did it ever occur to you that at times you do say, "I am not divine life"? This finger hurts. My intestine is wrong. Something there. All the things that are wrong with me. I can't pay the rent. You're not talking about divine life, are you? But I am divine life. See how far you can make the correction. It's again the same thing. I appear in a visible body, but I do not live in it. Now, as you start taking orders from the inner Christ, you will learn how to do that. The inner Christ, the voice will speak to you, will teach you what you cannot learn any other way from no human being. What the inner voice tells you, what the Christ teaches you, slowly takes you out of the visible body. And then you live in the infinite invisible body while you appear in the visible body. You make a transformation. But you don't make it. The Christ leads you through your acceptance of Christ as the existence that you follow, as the will of Father, and your faith in doing this, you suddenly find that you are not your own. God is living God's life where you are. Because that's who you are. God lives God's life where you are. And all personal sense of self goes. I am the life of God appearing in form until the life of God is taken elsewhere. This may not be what you want to do, but the assumption is that you do want to do it, and that's why it's being taught. Certainly it's being taught because that's what God wants you to do. And if God wants you to do it, it can be done. I do not accept the unseparated Christ as the self of all men. That's how we violate the truth. Or maybe I accept it as a word or a thought, but I do not accept it as part of my being. I do not accept the unseparated Christ as the life of all men. I violate divine will that way. Well, these are the violations, these are the fulfillment. The idea is to look at yourself, go follow them out one by one, test yourself, see that eventually you get on to the truth of what you are and eliminate the violations. You won't be what you appear to be today. It's a big order, but you've got to learn what the order is, and this is the time. Let's ask the Father for guidance. We certainly need a lot of it. whoever accomplishes a percentage of this and can say, I am not hypnotized, is overcoming world hypnosis. I am not hypnotized. World hypnosis is the only adversary we all have. Just one adversary, but it covers the world. And only I, Christ, in you, understood, lived in, overcomes world hypnosis. That's how you'll step out of the problems of the world. When you try to do this by yourself, sometimes it's easier. You can regulate what you do according to your own capacity. When you try to do it with little groups, it helps because someone will come up with some angles to it that you hadn't thought of. We borrow from each other. We notice the progress in others and we try to emulate them. The idea is to keep at it, whether you're alone or whether you're in a tape group or whether you're with friends. Keep at it. That doesn't mean you can't socialize with people who are not in this work. That's ridiculous. Anyone you enjoy being with is fine. But what you're living privately is your business. If that person can't join you in this study, that's fine. It doesn't spoil your opportunity. After all, there are 24 hours a day. And if I know my name privately, I know it all the time that I'm with somebody else. Whether I voice it or not, I am I, Christ. If I can be persuaded that I'm not I, Christ, that's my problem. I, Christ, infinite, faces world hypnosis. I don't know any other answer for world hypnosis. I think that'll be our lesson for tonight. We've only done three, I think. Yeah, three lessons. Seems like we've been here a long time. Three lessons we've had. So I'll see you tomorrow morning, and that's at 9:30 for meditation. Thank you.